This is an important question here. Many of you may have that or similar question. What suggestions, if any, do you have for individuals who are working in a profession or occupation where left brain rational thinking is constantly required? Well, I was in such a profession, and I must admit that I left. Perhaps it wasn't absolutely necessary. I didn't have a teacher, so I just thought I was working on a PhD as heavy mind stuff, and it became completely pointless. So it abandoned me, or I abandoned it. And then I spent 2 years on a park bench. Now, this is not the way you need to go. Don't be frightened. I've heard of several people who read the introduction to my book where I mentioned the park bench and said, oh no, I don't want to read anymore. Many people have to work with computers these days, which also stimulates thought and left brain activity. And it pulls your attention out of the body onto the screen. A lot of energy goes out of your eyes, energy loss, if you stare at the screen for several hours a day. The question is whether your present occupation, profession, activity is compatible with the state of presence that arises. And many activities are compatible still with the state of presence. Even the use of computers is compatible with the state of presence if you simply remember to take enough space or spaciousness during the day. You have moments when you withdraw attention from the screen or from whatever activity, or you might be on the telephone a lot, talking about the stock market or whatever, is it going up or down and points and so on. And the energy field that surrounds you may be agitated, which is very normal these days. There's the nervous energy field in which you may have to live every day. Let's get to the next thing. Where's the next thing? It's whole, and even in places that should be places of healing, they are dominated by this mad nervous energy, like hospitals and schools, hospitals. Everybody running around. And there's the tension, the anxiety, even in jobs that used to be the most comfortable jobs you could get, like school teacher. Nowadays, they're most stressful jobs you can find. So there's the level of agitation, nervous tension, and stress has been increasing. The question is, can I bring presence into that? Can presence emerge even here? In many cases, it can, especially, and this is why, and I will be going into that, there are several questions about being in the body. Use that during the day. This means attention is taken away from thought. And when you feel the inner body, you feel that there is a spaciousness in the body. And For a moment, mind activity subsides. You connect with the inner spaciousness and aliveness that's in every cell of the body. And you do that for a minute or two, and then you go back to your normal activity. And then you withdraw again after a little while, maybe once an hour, it doesn't matter, whatever possible. When you're going up and down the elevator, bring in gaps so that you're not dragged along by a mind stream, an agitated mind stream, the whole day long, dragged from one thing to the next. One thing, this needs doing, and now this, and now that, and you're always catching up and never quite managing to catch up. This is how most people's working life is. So you don't get dragged along by a mind stream which is externalized, the collective mind stream of your company or your institution, your workplace. So if you can bring presence into that by periodically withdrawing for brief moments into the body and then gradually learning that you can be engaged in certain even left brain activities and still have some attention in the body, for example, when you listen to someone on the telephone. Attention in the body could be, you may not be able to feel the entire energy field of the body in an agitated work environment. Just, it sounds too simple to be true, but just take your attention into one part of the body and hold some attention in there while you listen on the phone, for example. And the hand is, for many people, the quickest access point to the body. There are two good access points that operate for most people. One is entering with your attention, enter the hand, left or right. And for those of you who don't even know what I'm talking about, because your attention has been in the head for so many years, if you hold your hand, and you can tell this to anybody who is asking you, and even people who have no interest in any spiritual book, many people will be ready to listen when you talk to them about connecting with the inner energy field of the body. You don't even have to tell them that it takes your attention away from thinking, they might become frightened. Just say it's good for you, it's good for the body, it feels good, which is all true. It's very healing, which is all true, to inhabit the body. You begin to inhabit the body by simply feeling the energy field in one of your hands, and you can hold it up. If you can't feel anything yet, the quickest way to feeling the inner body is holding up either your left or right hand, not moving it, closing your eyes, and then asking yourself a question. And the question is, without opening my eyes, without moving my hand, how can I know whether my right hand is still there? Now, the mind may try to find, it may say, come up with some conceptual answer and say, well, I don't know. But you have to go more deeply. How can I know? That question draws your attention into the right hand, because to find out how you can know, your attention will go from thought, thinking about your right hand, to sensing your right hand from within. And after a while, with your eyes closed, you say, oh, yes, I can feel something. There is a certain aliveness there. That must be my right hand. It feels quite good. It's actually alive. And you can then learn to hold your attention there for a while. Hold it in your right hand. That means you've entered the body. And then say, okay, let's see if the left hand, I can also feel that. Yes, left hand is there, no doubt, I can feel that also. And then you bring together the feeling of left and right hand into a single feeling of hand. You no longer have an image in your mind of left and right because your attention is completely on that feeling of aliveness. And you bring together left and right into a single feeling of hand. First you feel them simultaneously. Eyes open or closed, doesn't matter. And then you bring it together. To bring it together, it's easier with your eyes open. Simply there's a sense of hand, and then even that label drops. and there's simply an aliveness there. And so if you can be in your hands, you can be in other parts. Gradually from there, put your attention into arms. Not quite as strong the feeling, but it's there. And your feet, aliveness there. Your legs, there's an aliveness there. So gradually you bring together different parts into a single sense of aliveness. You inhabit the body. That means your mind is slowing down considerably because attention is being taken away from thought and there's a spaciousness in the body. And that simple thing can be your anchor for presence when you are in an environment that is nervous and agitated and mind dominated. As much as possible, go into the body. You might be walking into a committee meeting with lots of egos around and whatever, people demanding this or that, and you sit there, you listen to their demands, and you feel an aliveness, either in the entire energy field of the body that comes after a while, or just one part is enough. Simply feeling your right hand can keep you sane in a mad environment. So you're bringing in presence, and so instead of leaving, let this world be transformed by people, as if possible, bring presence into where you are. And so the world, instead of people leaving, although if you have to leave, you will leave. If you find it impossible to bring presence into that environment, you will have to leave. There's, in most places now, I would be able to just be present no matter what, but there are a few places I know I wouldn't stay. I don't want to give any examples. If I worked in a discotheque for 6 hours every night, being bombarded by heavy noise, I would leave. That wouldn't be the job. If somebody chained me there to that place, I would surrender and there would be deep peace. But if I'm not chained to that place, I would leave. So if, as presence arises, it's not so much anymore of trying to figure out what you need to do. As presence arises, what you need to do will become obvious as a sudden insight with which you may wake up one morning and you know what it is that you need to do, and you do it. There's no longer any doubt. It is so clear. Those insights arise out of presence. So whether you have to leave or change, whatever it may be, you will know what you have to do beyond mental agonizing, mental decision-making and doubt. Should I? Shouldn't I? On the other hand, if I, but what if then, how am I going to make a living? Many of you will be taken out of your habitual surroundings. Presence will take you out. And others will stay where you are and transform your environment because you are then there as a field of presence in your family or in your relationship. Some of you will walk out of the relationship if the partner is not ready for presence. You will walk out or he or she will leave you. But you cannot predict whether or not your partner is ready for presence. The most unlikely people, seemingly unlikely, are ready for presence. So who knows? The beautiful thing is that presence will begin to operate in your life and it will transform what is around you, either take you away or transform where you are. You're transformed. And this could be your family environment too, because just as many workplaces are agitated and nervous energy fields, many homes are equally agitated and nervous energy fields. If you walk into some homes, they're like madhouses with screaming and shouting and never a sense of allowing this moment to be. Every member of the family is out of their bodies, completely trapped in thought and trying to get away from the now. Imagine a family living in that way. And you do teach children what presence is, not by words, by being present, by giving them space, by surrounding them with space when they come in shouting this and that. You know what happened in school? You welcome that moment in which this child appears and you embrace this moment and the child appears in this now. And there's, you, as I call it sometimes, you give him or her space to be. You allow this person to be, and you listen in that sense of spaciousness, just listening. Oh, okay, all right, okay. Not wanting to change anybody.